Welcome, Craig.
Craig's here. Do you ever, like, if they were, like, peeling back the curtain a little bit here, like, now other people are meeting Craig, and people are understanding that Craig's really the motion that keeps the ocean, I don't know, I'll fix that in post. Right.
I can tell he's the lifeblood of this podcast.
It's true, and then when we suck, it's Craig's problem, which is the best part.
Right. Well, welcome back, everyone. This is episode 35, and I'm back from my hiatus of northern Wisconsin, where I had no reception and basically was shut off from the world. We did have Wi-Fi, but all we had was Roku TV, so I was only able to watch like the NBA Finals and the NHL games, but I didn't really have too much internet to be looking up stuff or what was going on during the week, but I'm back. So I know you guys did something last weekend. I'm interested to listen to that this weekend.
You don't listen to the product. I for those of you that didn't listen to last week, like I'm still 100% convinced that there is no Wi-Fi in Wisconsin. That's not real.
Yeah, it's what did we say? It's like
it's a brat. It's a type of brat.
Yeah, right. What is that? A brat? Like a cheddarwurst brat
or a cheese? Well, so last week. I had Evan Hoover from Football Absurdity on, and this week we have another guest. So Shane, why don't you go ahead and tell the thousands and Craig about yourself?
Hi guys, I'm Shane from the Fantasy Absurdity Discord. Going to be completely transparent. I'm a total newbie to fantasy football and football in general. So this is kind of my introduction into this world, and then we're going to discuss my journey throughout me fumbling my way through fantasy football.
Well, you know, the thing that's so interesting to me is like, I'm not a fucking content creator. I just talk some shit with some friends. Right. And like everybody that makes content expects like they're almost writing it for like a certain level of expertise. And I think that's just kind of boring.
No, I would like to think that you could make something that, appeals more to the avid football fan, especially people that are new to the game too, as well. You gotta kind of dumb it down a little bit sometimes. So, cause there's a lot more people that are new to the game that are experts. So
I would rather talk to people whose interest in playing fantasy is to like beat the shit out of the people they work with than someone that's like, I do, this is my career.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't. It's a bragging rights thing where, like I said, I'm new to this, but I want to flex. That's my whole reason I play this game. I like to obsess about things that don't mean anything in the real world because there's so many other issues I have to worry about. Where let me focus for 6 hours on one day of the year or one day of the week, sorry, where I can just sit and watch a TV and look at these numbers on my phone go off. It's like a slot machine in my mind, but I'm not gambling. So
yeah. Well, it's a cool thing that you found the Football Absurdity because you're going to learn some good stuff. So,
I'm absolutely grateful. I actually started. I don't remember how I went down the rabbit hole. I think I was watching like a playoff game. I can't remember the exact game. It was either when Derrick Henry was stiff arming every Buffalo Bill in the crowd, or when Kyler Murray threw the Hail Mary to DeAndre Hopkins, and I was like, okay, I'm in. Like I'd watch casually before then. We're a Chargers family, so I'm used to disappointment. Beer sheets was one of the first things that popped up, and then I was doing more research into that, and then I fell into the fantasy or the Football Absurdity Discord, and it's kind of been my second home for the last year more or less. And like you guys have said, great community, super welcoming and user friendly.
Yeah, and as a Chargers fan that you are, like you're gonna be really excited for this year because the Chargers are gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah, I joked to my dad that me getting into football with him is the reason why they're going to be great is because my transition into enjoying the sport is why Justin Herbert is the second coming.
Yeah.
They're actually building a team that can be successful as opposed to,
they had a really good offense last year and they did a lot in the off season to perk up their defense to make them Super Bowl bound.
So I'm used to disappointment. So my expectations are not high.
There will be some disappointment because there's going to be some really good games. And unfortunately, the Chargers play in the AFC West, which is
it's going to be a bloodbath.
the most difficult conference to play in this year.
I feel like that might be the most stacked division in like the history of football.
I would probably venture to agree with you as well. I mean, it's almost unheard of the amount of talent that's on that side of the coast, on the West Coast.
Well, I'm glad that you are here and that fantasy is something that you enjoy. And I'm a skillful editor, so this will be seamlessly fixed on the final draft. Anyways, so go on. So you're talking more about like the path towards Dynasty and the path towards trying these new weird leagues?
Yeah, so the way I joined, I was actually listening to the Foot Clan, kind of as the normie transition into kind of casual viewership. And then I didn't know where to find a league at, so I just joined their forums, and there was a bunch of new players that were starting a Dynasty league. I was like, okay, cool, like it's newbies, it'll be user-friendly, we don't really know what we're doing, we're just kind of following all the same guides, so no one's really has an unfair advantage, we're kind of learning how we go. And honestly, my team kicks ass in that league because I utilized my other assets after the fact to make that team better.
Oh, cool.
And there was a dead period where I was just like getting the itch to draft, but it was like June, which is like the worst time for off season, as I learned this year, where nothing is happening. It's the most dead period of anything, of just all these stupid news articles coming out. So I kind of had to wait, did more mock drafts, and then I joined a redraft keeper league, and then I got the itch again, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to go into another dynasty league, but I'm going to go in with a different look of I want to win it all, because it's an empire league. So if you win back-to-back titles, which is really difficult to begin with, but then the league shuts down and there's a prize pool that gets multiplied. So I basically drafted all older players who people don't really want to touch, because in dynasty everybody wants the youth, you know what I mean? You want the guys who are
so wait really quick, let me understand this, because I've never heard of an empire league. So it's a dynasty league, and if someone wins 2 years in a row, that the league is over?
Yeah, we basically either the league will either we can all disband, or we can just redraft, and we'll keep all the same managers, but the rosters we'll just do a new startup draft. So it's either two in a row, or you win three total within a time frame. I think it might be out of 5 years or whatever.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it really, this is actually the first, I think when I dipped my toes into the Football Absurdity podcast, or the Discord, of asking for help, because I was like, hey, listen, I want to win. What do you guys think? These are my resources are like, no, screw that. Like, we're going to talk it out. We'll figure it out. So they picked a really good roster, or we talked a really good roster of, because I play Superflex. I just feel like it's the way to play fantasy football. That's just my perspective.
Sure.
So I picked a roster that was actually ended up, I had some moves in the background after the fact, but actually got me my first title, which kind of have warped my perceptions of fantasy football, because you see so many people of, oh, it took me 8 years to win my first title. I was like, did I do good? Did I win? and then like 2 weeks after I joined that league and drafted that team, I did another whole thought process of, I want to do a rebuild team. I want to accumulate assets. I want to be able to have an all either rookie team or 1 year team, and then utilize the off season to scout players, to do like the groundwork of basically picking my own team, as opposed to having somebody else or like a big influence of others, to kind of appreciate the game more and do scouting in that way.
But I think like what I like about that is that's something that I like to, or I've, you know, I've always been a huge football fan. So that's always something that I've wanted to take pride in, where it's like, no, I don't want to hear about what some expert thinks I should do with this guy. Here's what I think this guy should do, because I love the game. Like, I feel like this guy's going to do good. This is my guy. I'm sticking with my guy. But there's a balance there, right? Like, there's a fine line, you know? Like, Ryan's a big fan of like, Jeff Radcliffe's a guy that Ryan likes a lot. If he's saying, like, don't start this guy, don't start this guy, don't start this guy, if you feel like it's going to be his night, you're going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's like the Football Absurdity Twitch streams, is they say, we can give you as much advice as possible, but you make the decision. You press the button to start that player. And
right.
the contrarian dickhead in me always wants to go against the grain. But like you said, it's that fine balance of you have to trust the experts and consensus and kind of mesh that within your own opinion of what you think is going to happen. Of because ultimately, like at the end of the day, fantasy football is luck. Like you do mitigate the ability to not have failure, but there is still some player that's on the third string could have a 50-point game. You never know.
And taking chances as well. It's about picking up that free agent on the waiver wire 3 weeks before he has his big game, and now everyone wants him, and he's the number one waiver wire pickup. You know,
You're like me. You pick up Eli Mitchell in the offseason because everybody's like, he's the sleeper pick, and then you drop him a week before the season starts because you got to pick up someone who's useless, and then you regret it the entire season, like I did.
Right. And well, that's one of the struggles that I've had with transitioning from redraft to dynasty and doing both. Like, I have to live with my fuck ups for a lot longer in dynasty. You know,
your actions have consequences. And I'm a person of that where that's why I actually started with dynasty, because I wanted that not in a form of like punishment, but like, I want to be able to learn from the mistakes and have that mistake be like, instead of like, whatever, we'll try again next year. But I want that to have like a gravity to it, so I don't make that mistake again. But that's like how I am as a person, you know?
Sure. Well, that's one of the things that I said on the script that we sent out was like, what do you want to get better at? Would you say that that's the thing that you want to get better at?
Yeah, I think I have two things. So I said initially that I wanted to use my other team to increase my ability to analyze players, but I'm a filthy casual. I watch Red Zone. Like, I don't sit there. I don't watch all 22 tape. You know what I mean?
Red Zone. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Red Zone.
My original game plan was to use the off season to scout players, but life happens. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, someone like you, Tony, you put out that guide that was extremely helpful. And I consolidated your advice as well as Football Trade Discord to use my, 7 picks of the first 12 players to pick my team. But I'd like to actually study the game more a little bit just so I can understand. Cause when Cooper Kupp dropped that nickel off the fireside speech, dude, he was speaking different language to me. I'm like, I have no idea you're talking about. This is a professional thing. But I'd also like to get better at fab acquisition. Like Ryan was saying, is when to pull the trigger on that guy and having the courage to bet it all on black and be like, hey, this is my guy. I'm putting my chips on this person. This is the person that's going to take me to this next level.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of being bold. Bold predictions, bold moves. I have a bold prediction pretty much every episode. And yeah, that's one of the best things. And I think the one thing I want to get better at is that, as well as playing Dynasty, because I'm kind of new to Dynasty. I've done Dynasty leagues before, but they've dissolved, and I'm in two like that were in last year. And my problem was
that you won.
One I won.
That's all you can, man.
Yeah, but that was as a blessing and a curse, because now, I won, but now I'm gonna have the next 3 years are probably gonna be a rebuild for me, outside of keeping. I mean, I know I got some boss players.
I'm pulling up your roster right now. Fuck you.
Fine, go over my roster. I mean, I do have some guys that'll be around for a while, but I also have guys that won't, you know. And then that other Dynasty League, I drafted pretty well, but I kind of did the same thing where I'm good for winning this year potentially, but we'll see. I don't have like a lot of draft picks like you do in the next coming few years. Yeah. What are you going to say?
All right. So we're going to have Shane talk about this. I want your thoughts on this. Okay, so this is a one quarterback dynasty.
Yeah.
When we were forming the league, I had a guy that was like, hey, if it's a super flex or a two quarterback, like, I don't want to play. And I'm like, I just want to do something that everyone's going to enjoy.
Yeah, you want to have everybody play the game, because it's something that's ultimately at the end of the day, that's what you want. You want people to play the game.
Right. So let me go through some of the choice cuts from Ryan's team, all right? So he's got Josh Allen. He's got Eli Mitchell, Hunter Renfro. There's a string of players here that goes Jamar Chase, Debo Samuel, Mark Andrews. So
Yeah. Wait, this is the team you have to blow up? Is that what you're saying? Right? This is the rebuild team you're talking about?
Hang on, we haven't even gotten to the bench. He's got Derek Carr, Trey Lance, Derek Henry, Alexander Mattison, whatever. That's one of your guys. KJ Osborne is a great dynasty asset. You have Elijah Moore just sitting on your bench. Just terrible. Oh, so feel so bad for you. And then his IR is made up of the only relevant pieces of the Jacksonville backfield, but both pieces. So he's got James Robinson and Travis Etienne. So yeah, so
maybe I'll be good for a couple years. But yeah
there's one player on that team who's going to leave in the next 2 years. Everyone else you're locked into. Maybe Eli Mitchell. Eli Mitchell's a 50-50 for me, but
yeah,
you have enough that you could trade bench pieces to fill out your roster more.
Yeah, to get draft picks. I'm going to have to start looking at that a lot. I've kind of neglected those dynasties this summer so far because we've been working so much on the podcast. So I'm going to have to start looking at that.
That's a good thing to do, though. Honestly, I think stepping away from it in dynasty is a good point because there's some people who get so trade happy that they make bad moves just to trade.
AKA Tony Martin.
Hey.
He's gotten better. We've seen him make some good moves.
Dude, Waleed brought it up when I was getting raked over the coals for making a bad trade in a different league. It's like the value of a player is only what the people in that league are willing to pay.
Right.
And if they're only willing to give me, you know, two firsts for Josh Allen and Superflex, like, and I'm trying to tear down, like, that's what I got to do.
Ultimately, that's a thing. But that's the problem is everybody values players at a different rate because you can say the market is the market, but if someone's not willing to pay the price, like
Right. Someone,
I was trying to buy Justin Herbert in a league just because I'm a fanboy. The guy wanted four firsts and T-Law. And I was like, hey, listen, I can see that as possibly being fair because some of them were late first. There's like the 112, 111. But for my team construction, it doesn't work. I'm in a rebuild team. It doesn't make sense to me to blow all those assets on a player. But then I watched Jamar Chase go for Marquise Brown, Pat Freiermuth, a 23 first, and some garbage. And I was like, this is collusion. Like, how did this trade go through?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. That's actually what I identified as my like area of expertise because like, There's another dynasty league I'm in where I got Kyle Pitts and I got trade offers for Kyle
hard this weekend or this offseason. It's impossible.
I ended up trading him because I was sick of getting offers every day. I was literally like, please stop. Please leave me alone. Yes, you can have him here.
See, but what you do in sleeper is you put his nickname as six firsts and then nobody will bother you.
I already have like, his nickname for Kadarius Toney is 2023 firsts. So I haven't gotten any buzz, but like, that's the thing that I struggle with in dynasty is like, I'm too fucking Midwestern. People wear me down by being like, hey, can you do this for me? Hey, can you get this for me? And I'm just like,
you're just trying to be nice at that point. You're like, God damn it. If I'm just nice and just get rid of this problem.
My favorite fantasy moment last year was Ryan came out to record, the DFS show that we do with Waleed. And we're outside smoking a cigarette and he's looking over his matchup for the dynasty matchup this week. And he's like, dude, the guy I'm going against this week, listen to this fucking shit team that he's rolling out. And he was explaining my team to me as I sat there and smiled.
And I forgot that it was Tony I was playing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, Rex Burkhead. What a fucking idiot. I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh. Totally. Hey, dude.
Dare Ungobale won me my title, all right? So I will ride the backs of the benches of people. I've had my retirement home team, that I call it. It was carried off the backs of Devontae Freeman, Dante Foreman, just as my running back 1 and 2, just because every running back that I could possibly get either was hurt, but they were putting up 10 points a week, and I needed those 10 points, and they got me those games.
Hell yeah.
Granted, yeah. Cooper Kupp also went God mode, so that also carried over the finish line as well. But
yeah, right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the year that I won, I was carried by Alfred Blue.
Wow.
Arian Foster's backup in Houston, like a dude that did nothing except for had like four solid games at the end of the year 1 year. It's like you said, it's luck, man. It's you put yourself in the best position. Like you got lucky with those plays. But you were also in the championship because you were there because you had a good team.
everything is a step along the way. You know what I mean? You build, it's a snowball effect. If everything builds upon what you had. And fortunately, I built my team around my quarterbacks, which I think in Superflex is the thing you prioritize the most of. Yes. These are the people who are going to put up 25 plus points per week for you, and they will carry Robbie Anderson having stone hands for a week. You know what I mean? Where fortunately I had Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, he did the Cardinals thing if he kind of floundered at the end, and I didn't really have, and he got hurt too. So, where I was fortunately carried by COVID toes and TB12 at the end. But no, it's, so how do you value handcuffs in fantasy? Because that's always something I am very on the fence of all the time, of like, should I go out and buy the handcuff for my running back, or should I try to have the other handcuffs so I can exploit when that running back goes down?
This is a Ryan. Well, this was written for Ryan. Go ahead.
What I try and do, the obvious answer is, if you know you got like Dalvin Cook, you're going to want to have Alexander Mattison on your roster. But what I try to do is not get the double together. If I have two really good running backs, I'm going to go out and I'm going to try and pick up two I don't have, you know, that I can snake in case that person goes down, then the other person's screwed and I'm in the great position. Cause I've never really been in the position to get the good player and his handcuff. It just never works out for me. So yeah, you definitely have to reach. So I always end up just going out and trying to get those handcuffs to other players. I've just never been fortunate enough to have both of them. Last year I held on to Madison in one league, and it didn't pan out outside of a couple games. It didn't pan out really that well, because Cook, for the most part, was healthy for three quarters of the season.
I had him in two leagues. He's actually like my RB1 before the draft occurred in my tanking team. Then I drafted Breece Hall and our savior James Cook. But
I still think that that's going to be the best handcuff this year is Madison, because it's been shown time and time again that when Cook goes down, there's like no difference in the way that they play. Madison still looks great, just if you know, not better than Cook, but he looks just the same.
Yeah. So, I didn't listen to your NFC North episode. How do you guys think Minnesota pans out without Zimmerman there? Do you think they run the same offense?
I actually did the profile on the Minnesota Vikings this year. Their offense on paper is going to be really good, but like you said, we still have Kirk Cousins thrown to him. And they really, honestly, of all the teams I think I researched, like Tony did 16 and I did 16, the Minnesota Vikings really didn't do much in free agency or with the draft to like completely change. Like there's some teams that are just completely different now. Like Minnesota, they still have Thielen, they still have Jefferson, they still have Cook, they still have Madison, they still have CJ Ham. Like even those players didn't even change, like their fullback. They did some defensive work, but they're outside of that, their roster is still essentially the same as last year. The new coach, yes, could inspire something to happen with that, but in the NFC North, especially with how the Packers and the Bears and like even Detroit, like I'm excited for Detroit this year. Like Detroit on paper too, like could be really good. So the NFC North's going to be like super competitive, I feel, this year. Well, outside of how it's normally not.
So Kevin O'Connell, the new coach, is a Sean McVay guy.
Oh.
And you know, it's funny because like Sean McVay is you think of him as like, he's the guy that unlocked Stafford and Kupp and all that kind of stuff. But the year that offense was best was the year that the Rams had Todd Gurley do all the work.
Yeah, like Tony was saying, like Kevin O'Connell was the offensive coordinator for the Rams the last 2 years. So it could be really good. But like I said,
I think they play.
You still have Kirk Cousins thrown. I think if you got a new quarterback in there, it'd be a game changer. But
I think it's going to be ball control and defense. That's how they're going to win. They're going to try to win a lot of 14 to 10 games, and it's going to be boring as fuck. But for me,
the offense is they have very exciting players to watch. They have Dalvin Cook. They have Jamar Jefferson. Yeah. It's use the weapons.
And they also have some receivers that could, you know, if Jefferson or Thielen gets hurt, you got Smith Marset, who I'm really high on, could be really good. And you also have KJ Osborne still.
Yeah, KJ Osborne that's on that team of yours that really sucks. That terrible that terrible dynasty roster that you have. But like for me, handcuffs, I don't want to do handcuffs. I don't. I like the idea of them, but if I have a five person bench, like I want to have Evan. When Evan was on last week, he was talking about like having a profile for each spot that you want on your bench. Like, this is what I want from this spot. So yes. I only have one of those in my mind that I've identified as a spot that has a specific purpose on my bench, and that's always a cycle spot because I don't ever carry a backup quarterback or backup tight end. So I want that spot that I'm going to cycle between my buys for my tight end and my quarterback, but then those other four bench spots, like I usually want to have a rookie with high upside that I can just be like, hey, I want this dude. He's going to break out in week 8. Last year I screwed myself because I had Elijah Moore in redraft and I just wasn't patient.
Yeah.
And because Allen Robinson shit the bed. So like I don't know if I want to have space for the handcuff unless I have Dalvin Cook. And I want like the backs in those offenses that I know are going to be running back heavy regardless.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you actually, that you said, you know, Robinson, what do you think is going to happen with him this year? I think he's going to have a great season. I don't know if he's going to outproduce Cooper Kupp, but there's a chance he might, because he'll be the one.
I think Allen Robinson catches what, like 60, 65 passes for 800 yards and like 7 touchdowns. He's fine.
I'll take that bet. I'll take the over on 65 catches.
Fuck. It's set it in stone.
All right. I'll write it down.
I think his wheels up. I think he's going to have a way better, not a revitalization, but he's going to be utilized how he should be. And he's definitely not going to be a ghost on the field like he was last year.
And do you think they're going to get rid of Beckham?
They haven't. Well, he's a free agent.
So he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl. It's his second ACL in the same knee. And
well, then, his chance for coming back, he probably wouldn't even be able to play until like October.
Right. So why sign him now?
Yeah. He's going to come back at the same time that he did last year. I don't know. Like, if he's cheap, I don't see why they wouldn't, because they don't believe in the cap anymore. It's all fake and made up.
Right.
So if it's going to push him to the next edge to have him for 6 games, I don't see why they wouldn't sign him, because what other team is going to take him?
That's true.
My thing is with
maybe Cleveland.
The thing I always think about though is like in all major sports, players chase the ring, right? But what happens after you get that one ring as a ring hunter? Like Von Miller left.
Yeah.
He left to get paid. So like Odell clearly joined the Rams because he's like, this is my chance to get a ring. I'm going to go do it. And now does he go sign to another team because he thinks he'll take a discount to try to win another one? Or does he go somewhere just because it doesn't matter where he plays, they're offering him the bag because he already won his championship? So it'll be interesting to see like what he's prioritizing.
And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams freaking won it again. I mean, they're on paper, they still are going to be really good contender.
Bring Odell to KC.
Ooh, KC.
Damn. Odell, Mahomes and Odell would be nuts.
Yeah, maybe KC starts off the season like, and they're kind of not jiving because Tyreek's not there, and then they're like, oh shit, Odell's going to be healthy in like a month. Let's go pick him up. That would be awesome.
This is turning into fan fiction rapidly, and it's great.
But we like narratives, right? We want a story, because that sells tickets. Like I told everybody last time, just the first game of the NFL season should be the Battle of Los Angeles, the Super Bowl champions, the up and coming Charger team in the same stadium, similar colors. Like, granted, it's going to be 90% Rams fans, but what people are estimating to be two top five teams, potentially Super Bowl contending teams, do it in the beginning. The story sells itself.
I do really want to see that week one Thursday night Buffalo Kansas City game is going to be nuts.
Yeah, or it's going to be like 10-7. It's going to be horrible.
Right. Right.
Or Gabe Davis is going to go 200-4 again, and
right,
his value is going to be 4 firsts.
Well, that's the cool thing about DFS is like Ryan and I have been on Gabe Davis for a year.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see him break out, but Ryan's all like, dude, he's going to be so expensive next year in DFS lineups. Like, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, there was points in the first like 3 quarters of the season where Gabe Davis was under $5,000 on FanDuel. Like
for a 60K like
budget. And like I believe that week where he got 3 touchdowns, what was that, like 15 or 16, something like that?
Yeah.
He was still like maybe around $5,000. Right.
Yeah.
So that allowed you to pay up for a lot of other talent at other positions.
I'm not excited for DFS. I'm not excited to lose money again. But
yeah, I know, right?
I think I can even gamble in California with that. I don't think I could even play.
They don't have that in California?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it. I get the ads for every other commercial on NFL, but I haven't actually looked into it. I'm so scared with my money. I'm just like, I don't want to touch it.
Well, it's generally like the more conservative states that haven't adopted laws yet for FanDuel and DraftKings and online fantasy for money and stuff like that. I would think California's got it. It's like Utah, Nebraska, Iowa. Those states, they haven't adopted laws yet.
Over states.
Right. So, all right. So let's do kind of like our last thing, or one of our last things. So let's look forward a little bit. Are there any football specific, fantasy or non-fantasy storylines you're looking forward to most for this upcoming season? And if so, what are they?
I'm really interested to see the narrative of Davante Adams going across the coast and going to the West Coast. I really want to see him do well with the Raiders this year. So I'm really going to follow the Raiders a lot this year because, man, they got Renfro, Adams, Waller.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, who's that rookie, Tony? Who's the rookie that the Raiders drafted this year? Because a narrative. Right? Yeah, I did hear a narrative where Josh Jacobs is going to want to get paid after this year. So they may start to use Zamir White towards the end of the season and kind of pull back on Josh Jacobs. I guess if they're not in contention for the playoffs, but I don't see why. But then they're another team in the AFC West that who the hell knows what those teams' records are going to look like because they have to play each other, you know, twice. But
they're all going to be 9-8.
That would be crazy. That would be freaking crazy. Oh, man. But that's one of the narrative I'm looking for. The Adams trade from Green Bay to Oakland, or not Oakland, Vegas, sorry.
Sure. Yeah, Shane, anything you're really interested in?
I think I'm most excited about Treylon Burks, honestly. Like, just the narrative of everybody, because I saw it last year with Ja'Marr Chase. He's got the yips. He can't catch balls. He's saying all this stuff. If there's no stripe, I can't. He's took a year off. And the dude shattered the earth.
Yeah,
in football, and everybody's what like, was, oh,
Treylon what was Burks that narrative? What was the narrative in the preseason? They're like, he can't catch balls. He can't do anything.
Ball. Like he said, the stripe. There's no stripe on the football.
There's no. Yeah, and then he destroys the world. Where Treylon Burks, everyone's like, oh, he's got asthma and blah blah blah. And to me, like I said in the beginning, I'm a casual football fan, but I can read between the lines of they got rid of AJ Brown, who. They're just going to plug and play him. They've already signaled. Granted, they are a run first team, but they're going to plug and play him into that role. He torched the SEC with a bad quarterback, and I just want to see the dude succeed because he's just a monster on the field. He's fun to watch, and he's put in a position to succeed. And I think that I drafted him at 103. Everybody was like, "Yeah, you could probably do better. He could probably fall," but it's a player I don't want to lose that bet on, and I'd rather just. Use that trade capital to bet on somebody. Like Ryan was saying earlier, that was me putting my chips on someone of being bold and being like, right. Listen, this is who I believe is going to be in the best position to succeed and is going to pay dividends for me. Not this year, maybe, but next year going forward in Dynasty.
Yeah,
for sure.
One of the things we talked about when I had Evan on last week was like with Drake London in Atlanta, you're guessing what that role is. With this one, right. You know what that role is. So it's like...
He's the clear replacement, yeah.
Right. So you have at least an idea of what the ceiling for that role is, and that's really all I want is that opportunity.
Yeah.
I want a guy that's got the best chance to impact the game right away. Like, I wasn't a huge Zeus White fan of his tape, and then, like, where he landed, I'm like, well, take a fucking chance on that, you know? Like,
that's how I felt about Spiller.
Right, exactly. If Austin Ekeler gets hurt, Spiller is like one of the most interesting plays in football.
Yeah, he's moved up to number two in my eyes because the Chargers backfield, who do they have after him? You know what I mean? That's how I feel as a fan.
They always cycle through backup running backs, but I think I looked it up and like this is the biggest investment they've made on who should presumably be the backup running back. In years, like they haven't drafted a backup running back this high in a long time. So I think they're,
did you look at how much they paid him? Cause I was reading an article a couple weeks ago that you can kind of see post second or third round running back draft capital with how much they pay them. So if they pay them a higher percentage, that kind of signals to everybody, even though they were drafted lower, they're going to be utilized in that secondary or possibly to become the backup role. So I don't know what his pay scale was. So if they paid him well,
I don't know, but that's a good correlation. Yeah.
I just saw something. I think it was in the Discord that the Texans paid Damian Pierce like a very high rate for a fourth round pick or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's going to be playing right off the bat. I mean,
right.
They have no running backs in Houston.
They have Rex Burkhead.
Rex Burkhead. They also have Marlon Mack. They have Marlon Mack. Huh?
I don't know.
All right, so my narrative then is, you know, as a Bears fan, it's hard to root for another team in your own division. You know, it's just kind of a weird thing. But, man, I love the Lions so fucking much.
I know.
Yes.
Like, so my biggest thing that I'm following this year is which team that I always had a soft spot for because they've always sucked, which of those teams breaks out first, and that's the Jets or the Lions. Because
right.
I love the Jets too, you know.
What did Vegas put the over and under for them on wins? Was it only like 7.5?
The Lions was 6.5, I believe.
6.5. Wow. I definitely took the over on that.
But the Jets was like 3.5 or something stupid like that.
Yeah, that one was bad. And I'm actually
5.5 or something.
Me and Tony went through the Jets schedule and Tony thinks that's about accurate, but I think the Jets are gonna win more games than we think. There's gonna be a lot of squeakers, I think.
I love
They got an interesting team.
They rebuilt the whole team. They like you said earlier, like the Vikings didn't do anything or the Jets did everything.
Yeah.
Right. I like the Jets, man. They're fun. And so I wanted to include like Houston on there, but Houston's not there yet. Like, I don't think Houston has breakout potential in the next couple of years. And then of course, I think we're all interested in the resolution for the Deshaun Watson case in terms of like suspensions by the NFL, just because it would make me feel a lot better as a fan if they did the right thing.
Yeah. And we've kind of, strayed away from everyone's talking about it and there's no clear end in sight right now. So until there's actually something to talk about, we'll talk about it, but
yeah, but it's just such a fucking nightmare.
Get ready to be mad. That's all I'm ready for.
Yeah.
The other player, I'm actually a narrative. It's Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook, in Buffalo. I think by the end of the year, he's going to be the starter over Singletary because they've never really had a clearly defined starting running back. They're always going back and forth with whoever's hot. And Singletary, yeah, exactly. Singletary kind of got hot towards the end of last year. But I think his time's done. I think this James Cook, this guy's going to be good.
are the apostles of James Cook. That's
so. Yeah, I think I think Shane and I, without ever really like committing to the bit, tried to like artificially inflate James Cook's value like to everyone. We're like, dude, 108 pick 8 in the first round. That's not too early for James Cook. Like, think about that offense.
Starting so catching, like, pass catching running back. It makes sense in a high powered offense. It just
right. Clicks. If you would take Breece Hall 101 if he went to Buffalo, surely you'd take James Cook at 108 on the same team. And like, I think people for a while were like, oh, are these guys serious? And I'm like, no, just don't. Please don't.
But the logic tracks, but don't bet it. Don't bet too hard. You know what I mean? Don't be as bold. Don't like, leave Moss in this moment.
I love the thought, Ryan. I love the take of like James Cook taking over. It's possible. I actually really like, in the best ball drafts that I've been doing, I really like Devin Singletary because he's cheap as fuck. Yeah. I think a lot of people think that James Cook's going to take that backfield over week one.
So it's a possibility, but you're not betting pick slips.
No. So. This is the worst episode of Grease you've ever seen. No pink slips involved.
I think for backfield, people don't want to touch, though. That's the thing, is because they're kind of like New England, but in a different light. You know what I mean? Where New England has so many rotating pieces where you never know who's going to hit for you. Where Buffalo, everybody knows the running back one is Josh Allen. So people are like, I'd rather not take the gamble and rather go somewhere else and lean towards that way. But we're going to push our chips in and be the apostles of James Cook. So
it's tough for me because I don't want to touch those backfields, but there's value there if you gamble and you make the right play.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I had zero exposure to Damian Harris last year. None. Not even close.
No, neither did I.
And he was super cheap before the season started because nobody trusts New England. It's like San Francisco, man. Exactly. Like, are you betting on Mitchell being the starting back in San Francisco all year? Does it, you know?
Right. And that was super weird. That was super weird, too, last year because high on the bed, you know, but
yeah, Sermon was a ghost.
San Francisco is an interesting offense to pick.
Do you think Sermon ever does anything ever in the NFL, or he's just got that stigma now and he's never going to get a chance to start anywhere?
I don't know, man.
I loved watching him in college in Ohio State. Right. It was really good.
He could have the Rojo path. You know what I mean? He gets shit on by his coach. He rides the bench. And then he blows up somewhere else. I mean, granted, Rojo hasn't gone up on KC yet, but he had good games before Bruce Arians is like, all right, Fournette's just at a different level.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't have high hopes for anybody.
That's fair.
At all in football. This is going to be, everyone's going to be terrible this year. Everyone.
Really?
Every single player is going to have a down year, the whole league. It's going to be like the dead ball era of baseball when there's just no touchdowns. It's all kickers this year.
That would be so awesome.
what week was really bad for fantasy? Was it week 16 where like every game was awful and fantasy was atrocious? Or was that week 15?
I think it was 15.
Where like literally nobody scored. It was awful. That's just going to be the whole year.
There's been a couple of those weeks where like 90 points is going to win. It sucks, but 90 points is going to win you a game. And that's why I like league median games as like an extra addition for head-to-head. So there's always incentive to try to find the most points. It doesn't matter. If you win 90 to 89, you still lose a game in a way. So
it's some more fair analysis of points because you can, like you said, you win by 50 points, you win by 0.1 point, you get that 1 point, but you need to beat the average of the consensus to actually concrete yourself into being the apex team in the league.
Right. And I got to tell you, there were some nights where I'm watching Monday Night Football and my guys are done playing and I'm like straddling the median and I'm hoping, I'm like, no scoring, no scoring, no scoring. You see the median slowly creep up and you're like, I'm going to get a fucking loss this week and my guys aren't even playing. Like, I think that adds a whole new flavor to it that I like a lot.
It forces
you to watch.
Yeah. And that's, to wrap it up, like, that's kind of what we were saying about, like, the love of fantasy. It's like, fantasy is what gets me excited to watch Jacksonville and Indianapolis on Thursday night. You know, like, oh man, Carolina and Houston tonight. Fantasy. It's going to be great.
Yep. I'm always hot on Jacksonville. I'm so excited for Jacksonville this year. It's going to be awesome.
And you get your heart broken every year and you never learn.
Yep. All
right. So let's do our last segment. This was episode 35. So let's go around and I want to hear your favorite 35 in sports, a tradition that we started last week. Ryan, why don't you go ahead since you're new here?
So I picked number 35 as usual, Pete Pihos. He played 9 years in the NFL from 47 to 55, all with the Eagles. He was a 6-time Pro Bowler, 3-time reception leader, 2-time reception yards leader, 1-time touchdown leader. And as we talked about earlier, that was a time in football when amphetamines were rampant. So naturally, he only missed one game in his entire 9-game career, and it was probably because his hand was turned the other way or something.
Was also in the Army. He was the second lieutenant of the 35th Infantry. I don't know what any of that means, but God bless our troops, man.
Everybody, be all that you can be in the Army. He also at one point blocked a punt and returned it for 26 yards for a touchdown against the Washington Commanders. Sorry, not the Redskins.
No, the Commanders, right. We're retrofitting Commanders into everything now.
So he had a pretty good career for a number 35.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
And he coached?
He coached a little bit. Let's see. The National Agricultural League. He was hired as the head coach, which is, I guess, Delaware Valley University. He also taught business law classes there.
Do you want the bummer end to this story, or do you want me to just tell you something funny about him and then we can move on?
Sure. What's the bummer end?
Well, first off, he was married 4 times.
Oh, wow.
Takes a while to find the right person.
I think that was, it was early CTE. We didn't know anything about it.
Well, so sadly, in 2001, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And then in 2004, he was victimized by a con artist who acquired his lifetime collection of sports memorabilia for $30,000 in bogus checks.
Wow,
that deflated the room.
I said it, man. I prefaced this shit. I didn't bring this out of nowhere. So I'd like to, when I think about this guy, when I'm thinking about Pete Pihos, I like to remember the good times.
So if we ever find any Pete Pihos memorabilia, we need to donate it back to his trust.
To his estate. Oh, I feel so bad. All right. Shane, what do you got for your 35?
All right, so I don't know if we touched on this, but I'm not the sports guy in the room. I actually have only been watching football for maybe 2 years now. So I'm going to go with the curveball of WrestleMania 35, since that's my background as a kid, was wrestling. So WrestleMania 35 was the culmination of Kofi Mania, where Kofi Kingston, the downtrodden middle carder, getting shit on every day by management, finally realized his apex of becoming the world champion, of defeating the people, or the Earth's champion of Daniel Bryan, now Bryan Danielson of AEW Wrestling. We also saw Brock Lesnar get beat clean by Seth Rollins. Samoa Joe beat Rey Mysterio in like 2 seconds, which was great.
This is a very pro Samoa Joe podcast.
Yes, we are. Joe's gonna kill you podcast. I'm not a Rey Mysterio hater, but I think he had his moment in the sun where it's time to give the title where it's due. The worst part about that event was Kurt Angle losing to Baron Corbin, which my friends have seen me heckle that man into oblivion in live public. Baron Corbin sucks. He really does. He's the Applebee's of professional wrestlers.
Applebee's.
And we saw the apex of the man, Becky Lynch, reach the pinnacle of women's wrestling and main event WrestleMania for the first time, which was a great moment in wrestling history and sports history, in my opinion.
Hell yeah. This card had some great matches. FTR lost to Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
We're seeing FTR at Forbidden Door?
I hope so. Nice. All right. So lastly, my 35, I'm going to go and talk about an athlete that I don't really know much about, even though it's from my backyard. Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt.
Ooh.
Who is a number 35. That's a badass nickname. What's that?
That's a badass nickname.
Yeah. Dude, he's hawking Benny's Beverage Depot stuff now.
Okay, what I love most about Frank Thomas is not that he played for... Damn, he played for like 18 years.
Yeah, he played for a long time. I think he's also selling male enhancement stuff too, I think, now.
Dude, you're stealing my thunder here. You're stealing my NuGenics thunder.
Oh, yeah, that's right, NuGenics.
Not only does Frank Thomas have over 500 career home runs, most of which for the Chicago White Sox, he hawks all kinds of stuff around the Chicagoland area. Boner pills, NuGenics. Yep. This is a NuGenics podcast. We're pro anything that gets you hard, baby.
We're getting you guys paid here. Anything that gets you sponsored.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And we'll immediately slander any company that gives us money. So please keep that in mind. Google results for Frank Thomas advertisement come back with, how much does a bottle of NuGenics cost? And the answer is $69.99 plus $4.99 for shipping.
How many boners in one bottle?
I'm not going to go. I don't want to do any reviews here because it's going to fuck up my algorithm. So what other commercials did he do, Ryan?
I want to say he was like Benny's or maybe Garfield's. One of the liquor stores.
Because you have to be drunk to enjoy baseball.
Right.
And so it's a perfect advertisement opportunity.
Like, yeah, and you also need boner pills when you're super drunk. So
listen, he was a White Sox player. As a Cubs fan, I'm stuck with Viagra because I refuse to go to those boner pills because they're endorsed by a White Sox fan.
Isn't the Cubs Cialis?
Probably. No, the Cubs is like the Donald Trump campaign.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Let's all just remember to enjoy sports and not think about the owners of the teams that that run the teams that we enjoy.
Right. Let's not bring in politics with sports, please. I swear I go to escape politics.
Yeah. Unless, hey, wait. Remember, though, if it's politics that I support, like, I'm all about it.
Well, yeah. You can't get banned if you're talking about stuff that they like, you know?
Jack Del Rio took down his Twitter. What a fucking asshole. All right, well, I think that's a wrap on episode 35. You guys got any closing arguments? Give me a hot take. I don't think so. Ryan, give me a hot take right now.
Ooh, a bold prediction. Trevor Lawrence throws for 30-plus touchdowns.
God damn it. I can't ever top that. How do you top that?
You say that James O'Shaughnessy catches 10 touchdowns from Justin Fields?
This is why we don't get advertisers. All right. Well, I think that's it. Well, thanks for joining us, Shane. It was a good time.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good talking.
And we'll be back in the future. See you guys later.
Peace.
I don't have high hopes for anybody.